So I'd like to begin the talk today. I encourage you to practice being mindful of your body while I'm speaking and you're listening. And it's a very relaxed practice that I encourage. It means simply being aware of your body while you're listening to me. Because the sound, the vibration is coming in through your ears. And you may be able to actually, some people can actually feel the vibration of sound. And you don't have to feel that, but just feel your whole body sitting here while you're listening. And see what happens if you stay very present with yourself while you're listening. It's part of the practice of mindfulness of the body, and I'll speak more about it in a minute or two. But it's such a beautiful way to start practicing because you can do it anywhere. You don't have to be on retreat to be mindful of your body while you're listening. And of course, a lot of our communication is generally 50% is listening. You know, if it's equitable in our relationships, in our communities, then sometimes we're speaking and we also want to be aware of our body, like that's part of my practice right now. And then part of your practice is to be aware of your practice, your body while you're listening. It's actually, I just gave a talk at SFI last Sunday on right speech and mindful speech. And they're not the same thing. Right speech has to do with being in harmony with what you're saying, using different guidelines of, is it true? Is it the right time? Is it the right place, etc. And then mindful speech is about being embodied while we're speaking and listening. And so part of the gift of working with the three centers, and the first center that we're starting with is the body center, the belly center, sometimes called the hara in Buddhism, in Zen practice, is about being embodied whatever we're doing, not just when we're meditating, but learning how to make every moment of our life part of practice. And so I thought I would start talking about the body center by talking about the first foundation of mindfulness. And some of you may be new to practice. There's four foundations of mindfulness: mindfulness of the body, mindfulness of vedana, feeling tone of experience, mindfulness of the heart and mind, citta, and then mindfulness of the dharma, four foundations. Right? And the first one, the foundation of all the foundations, is the body that is characterized by being embodied, or ultimately being in touch with the belly center that's right here. And it's simple. It's not complex. You don't have to think about it too much, even though I'll give you lots of things to think about in the talk, because it's a talk, so you'll get a lot of concepts. But the most important part of the talk is you being aware of your body while you're listening, and even while you're thinking, because you'll think about what I'm saying. You'll hear me, you'll like it, you won't like it, it'll be interesting. You say, what does he mean there? Or why did he say that? Or, oh, that's good, that's interesting. You can be aware of your body the whole time that is happening. So play with it. And I use the word play very specifically because I don't want you to work really hard at this. I want you to relax with it. Because you're already here. Your body's already here. Your consciousness is already here. Your sincere intention is already here. You don't have to really do much. It's so refined what we're doing. I love Sayadaw Utteshaniya. He always says, oh, can you feel your foot? He would say, can you feel your foot? Anybody not feel their foot right now when I say that? Right? If you just try to feel your foot, it doesn't even take any energy. It just happens like that. That's why we can relax, because it's so simple, and it's simpler than we think to be embodied, actually. So the first foundation of mindfulness in the Satipatthana Sutta is mindfulness of the body, and it begins with a number of components, different ways to be mindful of the body. And I'm going to read to you and comment on what I'm reading about how to be mindful of the body. But again, for you, the most important thing is just feel your body right now in a very relaxed way. And you can feel any of the things that I'm pointing at while it's happening. Or you could just feel your body sitting here, which is really the posture, which I'll get to later. So the first part of mindfulness of the body is mindfulness of breathing. And it's really beautiful. Over the years, I've just come to love the texts of, and what the Buddha said. And here's one of the translations. This is from Bhikkhu Bodhi, and I'm trying to remember, and Bhikkhu Nanamoli. And they wrote, they translated it this way: one is mindful as one breathes in, one is mindful when one breathes out. If you're breathing in long, one understands that one is breathing in long. If one is breathing in short, one understands that they are breathing in short. Okay, everybody got that? Very simple. And just feel it. Feel your breath, one breath, in breath, long or short or medium. Medium's allowed also. And then the out breath, long or short or medium. Right. And then it goes on. It says one trains oneself. I shall breathe in, experiencing the whole body. I shall breathe out, experiencing the whole body. One trains thus. I breathe in, tranquilizing the bodily formation. I breathe out. One trains oneself. I shall breathe out, tranquilizing the bodily formation. And I'll tell you my interpretation of what that means is one breathes out, one breathes in and out, feeling your whole body while it's breathing, which is what the body does even if you don't pay attention to it and you're healthy enough, right? Just sense the whole body, and the breath is happening. Breathing in, breathing out. And then the second part, one breathes in, tranquilizing the bodily formation, one breathes out, tranquilizing. To me, that just means relaxing. You're not doing anything special. You're just relaxing with the breath and the body. And you're just feeling what's here without adding anything extra. And I'm going to read you another translation from Tanisaro Bhikkhu, who said it this way. He said, one trains oneself. I will breathe in sensitive to the entire body. I will breathe out sensitive to the entire body. It's such a beautiful, both are beautiful. One, because I like the experiencing the whole body, and I like being sensitive to the whole body. And our bodies like it when we experience them and we're sensitive to our bodies. And it's actually true in relationship. If we're sensitive to, if we really experience someone else, a friend or a partner or a child, they really like that if we experience them, if we get them. And the same in terms of being sensitive to them. We want to be sensitive to what's happening in the body that we might be speaking to or walking with or talking to, because a lot gets communicated through the body, not just through the words. So, and Tanisaro goes on, he says, I will breathe in sensitive to the entire body. I will breathe out sensitive to the entire body. I will breathe in calming the bodily fabrication. So it's, again, it's just calming. The first was tranquilizing. Here it's, the translation is calming. I like my unofficial translation, which is relaxing. I'm a big proponent of relaxing in meditation these days. I really believe that what's hard about meditation is there's so little we actually have to do except be here and relax and be aware, period. And that's hard for us because we live in a workaholic culture, especially Western culture, and the culture in the United States of America is very workaholic. And it's about doing, 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 doing. It's about being a human doing, not being a human being, which is what meditation is about, being a human being and being aware of this beingness that is sitting in your seat, the consciousness that's here, listening to me, knowing what I'm saying. So that's just the beginning of what it means to be mindful of a body. It's just to be mindful of the breath, mindful of the body breathing. And for some of you, you may be mindful of the breath at the nostrils or at the chest or at the belly. Not a problem. I've done all those kinds of meditation over many, many years. They're all good. At this point in my life, I do the whole body breathing, but trust what you do. You don't have to do the whole body breathing, but see what it's like to stay very close, intimate with the aliveness that happens with the inspiration of one breath. And it is the breath that keeps us alive. And so then in the Satipatthana Sutta, in the mindfulness of the body, then there's an insight, is what it's called, the second part after that first, mindful of breath, and then insight. And I'm going to read you the insight, some of it. I'll read it. One abides contemplating the body as a body internally, one abides contemplating the body as a body externally, or one abides contemplating the body as a body both internally and externally, which is partly what we can do right now, because you can see my body, or if you're on the gallery view, you see these other bodies, and you feel your body, so you're contemplating bodies. If we're in person, it's a little more vivid. But it's the same contemplation, both internally and externally, right? We're aware of the body and of bodies. And then it goes on, it said, or else one abides contemplating the body and its arising factors, contemplates the body and its vanishing factors in each moment, coming and going, each moment, coming and going, each moment, coming and going. Or one abides contemplating the body both in both arising and vanishing, or else mindfulness that there is a body is simply established in one to the extent necessary for bare knowledge and mindfulness. And this is just the simplest way to do it, which I'm very positive about, right? Just mindfulness that there is a body. We just know that there's a body here or there's a body there, and we're aware of it, right? Bare knowledge and mindfulness. And then you get the punchline now. Again, this is Eugene's interpretation. The punchline of this section says, and one abides independent, not clinging to anything in the world. This is how a practitioner abides, contemplating the body as a body. One abides independent, not clinging to anything in the world. That's the key. That's what all of this is about, what we're doing with both body and heart and mind, and being aware of a moment of reality, is learning how to let go, how to relax, how to be here and enjoy this amazing thing that's called life, that's here right at this moment and will not be here forever in this form. And it's a beautiful line from the Buddha, one abides independent. Sometimes I wonder if we should add independent and interdependent, right? But because both are true, but he's talking about a kind of freedom that comes with practice where we're just free to be, which is where the human beingness comes in. We get to be, period. Just who and what we are, the essence of who and what we are, the what's sometimes called the Buddha nature of who and what we are, the amazing magic of consciousness alive for a moment or a while that then is gone. So the first part is about mindfulness of the breath, and then the insight about being, one abides independent, not clinging to anything in the world. And then the next part of the teaching on the body is about posture. And you want to be mindful of the four postures: sitting, standing, walking, lying down. Again, no brainer in my Buddhist language. Meaning you just want to be aware, like right now you're sitting. Be aware of the posture that totally gears you in, sensitizes yourself to the body. And then if you do this, you're standing. And if you walk like you've been doing earlier, you're walking. And the body stands, the body walks, the body lies down. And we're just aware of it. And so the body becomes this vehicle for awareness in every position. And then there's one of my favorite sections, really. Eugene's big love in the first foundation of mindfulness, which is called full awareness in Bhikkhu Bodhi's translation. And he says, the practitioner acts in full awareness when going forward and returning, acts in full awareness when looking ahead and looking away, when acts in full awareness when flexing and extending one's limbs, at one acts in full awareness when wearing one's robes and carrying one's bowl. You know, here I have a little, I can have a bowl here, right? But it's just, of course, it's oriented towards the monastics, the nuns and the monks, but it's just about the normal things that they do. They're wearing clothes and they have a cup, right? And then one acts in full awareness when eating, drinking, consuming food and tasting. And we haven't gotten to that practice yet, but we'll give some instructions about what it means to be mindful when you're eating. It's an incredibly powerful practice, incredibly powerful. When you really learn how to pay attention when you're eating, It doesn't matter what you're eating or even whether you like what you're eating. It's so physical. And really, I'm a good eating meditator. I have to admit that. I'm good. It's one of my skills. And so I could, whenever we were eating, I'm always like the last one up because I'm so slow and so mindful. And why do I like it? Because of the samadhi, because it deepens the absorption into the direct experience. You become unified with each movement that it takes to put a morsel of food in your mouth, and then what it means to chew it and swallow it, and not what it means intellectually. What is it experientially? And you become one with it. And it doesn't matter if it's good chocolate ice cream, that's very pleasurable. But if it's, you know, tofu with no soy sauce, it's sometimes not so pleasurable. But it's the same experience in terms of the samadhi that can come with whatever you're eating. And so the Buddha's instructions, right? One acts in full awareness when eating, drinking, consuming food, tasting. And he goes on, he said, one acts in full awareness when defecating and urinating. Of course, one of the underemphasized mindfulness practices in the world, even though mindfulness is a big thing, this is not talked about so much. And I'll spare you the details, but try it for yourself. Because probably during this retreat at some time, you will urinate or defecate. I'm pretty sure of that. So, and see what happens if you stay mindful of what happens. Not intellectually, physically, just be aware of the experience. It's a mindfulness of the body is an experiential process. And so you can stay aware when you're going to the bathroom. And then the Buddha goes on, one acts in full awareness when walking, standing, sitting, falling asleep, waking up, talking, and keeping silent. So this is where mindfulness of the speech and listening is a mindfulness practice. It's not just about right speech. It's about embodied speech. Embodied listening. And just right now, feel your body while you're listening. Put that in the foreground of before my words. And pretty much you'll still hear my words as you feel your body. And it changes the whole locus, I think that's the right word, the locality of what it is that's listening. Because what's listening is sitting in your seat, and it's a physicality that includes the heart and the mind. And it's alive right now. I realize I only have so much time for this talk. I better move forward. So, okay. Yeah, and it's also great because you can practice with your eyes open when you're mindful in a full awareness, right? Because, you know, when you're out and about doing things, you want to keep your eyes open. If you're walking down the street or crossing the street, it's not so good to do that with your eyes closed, which you all know. But I mean, when I really got the full awareness portion of mindfulness of body, I remember being in New York and practicing on the subway. And it's like, oh, this is a great place to practice, right? Because there's so much, but still the somatic, kinesthetic, energetic experience that is aware of what's happening in the subway is right here. And it reminds me of something that I believe it was Munindraji said to Joseph Goldstein. He said, he pointed at him, he said, the whole Dharma's right here. And he pointed at Joseph. And of course, I'm pointing at all of you. The whole Dharma is right here, right? Whoever you are, Chelsea or Penny or Crystal or Mel or Gail or Maitra, that's better, Christian, Joel. Yeah, the whole Dharma is right here. What you seek is sitting in your own seat, right? And Cindy gets that. She's nodding. So I got a good nod from her. But it's true. And it's true for everybody. And really, I just feel like, oh, I should say all your name, because the whole Dharma is right here. You know, and it's beautiful. It's one of the privileges of being in the teacher role is to see the beauty of the Dharma, whether it's Maura or Leo or Jess or Peter or Henry or Alice or Tasha or Doug. I can't actually see Doug. He's a retreat manager. He's got a screen up. So, but I know what Doug looks like. So the next section in the Satipatthana is very, I'm not so into it. I've done it a lot, but it's about bodily parts. And one is aware of bodily parts, both internally and externally. Right, you and the language is head hairs, body hairs. Here I've got body hairs on my hand, on my arm, nails, teeth, skin, flesh, sinews, bones, bone marrow, kidneys, on and on. It goes liver, diaphragm, spleen, lungs, large intestine, small intestines, contents of the stomach, feces, bile, phlegm, pus, blood, sweat, fat, tears, grease, spittle, snot, oil of the joints, and urine. Those are the body parts that are listed that we're told to be aware of. And part of it's first intellectual, just be aware that they're here. But also, there are certain times in practice you can really feel it all. It's wild because it's all right here. And, you know, and of course, I have my friend in back, who I think you can see, my friend who's a skeleton, which is one of the great reminders, because one of the ways that I've done body practice is a simple version of the bodily parts is to scan the body part by part, being aware of the skin going down and then coming up, being aware of the flesh, which includes all the organs, and then coming down, being aware of the bones. And I really wanted to be sure I could feel all the bones. And I was surprised at how many bones are in the body. And they're all right here. They're not just here. They're not just there, right? Feel your bones right now. They're right there. And it's not a bad thing. It's really a good thing, yeah. Yeah, and you can feel it like, I'm not sure who that is, Katja is doing, feeling her bones, right? But you can feel it without moving a muscle. You can just start to feel the bones that are here. And we've, you know, many of us have had broken bones or problems with bones, and that's part of the deal of having a body, because the body is not permanent, which I'll get to a little later. So the parts of the body and then the elements, which is a more, not so much used these days that I know of, meaning in current modern culture, but especially in cultures that came from Asia, maybe other cultures I'm not aware of. The four elements are earth, water, fire, and air. And you can be aware of them in your body, that they're part of it. They're here. You can be aware of the hardness. Bones are part of the earth element. Or you can be aware of the liquid, like the blood or the saliva. Or you can be aware of the heat, which is just if you take all your clothes, then you're aware, oh, I was warm before. You're aware of the heat element. And of course, air is the breath, the movement of our life's breath. And then the last part is the charnel ground contemplations. This is in the first foundation of mindfulness, which is the charnel ground contemplation, contemplating death and what happens to bodies when they die. And in that time and place and culture that the Buddha was living in, he would send monastics and sometimes householders to go sit in the charnel ground where bodies that couldn't afford to be burned were left just to rot, which is what bodies do if they're dead. And you can be aware of the different stages of that decomposition, right? That happens to all bodies. And it's part of being aware of not just the preciousness of human life, or maybe actually better said, it's part of being aware of the preciousness of human life that I believe Lynn was pointing at in the Q&C today. The preciousness of human life is precious because it's temporary. It's amazing that we're here and that we're alive and that we're a living consciousness that can talk and explore and understand and learn and develop and be free, right? And part of that whole process is that this doesn't live forever. It's only for a short time, you know, 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80, 90, 100, 110. That's about it. And as you get older, and I'm old enough at this point, you know, I consider myself old, but people yell at me when I say that. I actually think getting old is good. And, you know, as long as you're relatively healthy, but the body doesn't stay as healthy when you get older. You feel it, and it's interesting to feel. But it's also still so good to be alive, just to be conscious. And, you know, yeah, a lot of goodness in the body being alive. And we'll see what it is when it dies. I don't know what happens. You know, I know Buddhism says a lot about it, and different traditions and cultures say a lot. And I've had my own near-death experience about 10 years ago, and that was very illuminating. But we'll see what happens. And I believe, this is my belief, that the more we're here now, the more we can be here then. And we'll see what happens when consciousness releases the body, or the body releases consciousness, however you want to say it. So the center, the belly center, technically, I think I said it's called the Vihara. Here's a book I read many years ago, called Hara, the Vital Center of Humans. I've changed the title to make it more appropriate for our time and place and culture. This is an old book, so he used old language. By Carl Fried Durkheim. And it's all about the Hara. It's about the belly center that is one of the keys to our embodiment. And it's not just in Buddhism, in I'm not sure which tradition it is. I want to say Vedic, but it's not. In Taoism, it's the Dao Tien. And in Islam, it's called the Kaf. And it's the same center, and it's the center of embodiment. And it's also the center of movement. Of the martial arts focuses on the center a lot, right? It's the center of grounding and centering and here-ness and really being here. And it, the more we're embodied in this way, and I'm really asking you now to sense your belly itself. And the Hara is about 2 or 3 finger widths below the belly button and a couple finger widths in, technically, that energetic center that's called the Hara or Dantian or Kaf. And it's a center that supports our capacity to be here and to stay with the truth and to follow the course, or to have follow through in what we do, to be with our experience, to give ourselves fully to a practice, to really commit in a very embodied way to what we care about, what we love, really. And so part of all of this is just a very, I hope not too complex, encouragement to stay with yourself for the whole retreat. Stay close to your body. Stay mindful of your body. See what happens. Like if that's all you do the whole retreat, be mindful of your body 24/7. Because you can do it when you're sitting. You can do it when you're walking. You can do it when you're going to sleep or waking up. You can do it when you're cooking and cleaning. You can do it when you're mad. You don't have to be happy to be with your body. You can be with your body when you're happy, or when you're sad, or when you're bored. Great time to be with your body. Even the body can be boring sometimes. But see what happens as you start to bring your body and mind together in one place here. Pam kept saying here, here. And that's so much of what we're doing with the body. One of my teachers, Hamid Ali, he said, when I say, are you in your body, I mean, are you completely filling your body? I want to know whether you are in your feet or you just have feet. Do you live in them, or are they just things you use when you walk? Are you in your belly, or do you just know vaguely that you have a belly? Are you present in your cells, inhabiting and filling your body with awareness? And right now, again, it's the language I use is the kinesthetic, energetic, somatic experience. Be aware of that. And I like to say it that way. It's a little more poetic than the body. The somatic, energetic, kinesthetic experience of what's alive right now, hearing me. Feel that, because it's not a thing, even though we think of the body as a thing. It's alive. It's magically alive, in my opinion and my experience. And it leads to freedom. It's my time. I've got a few more minutes. This was from Joseph Goldstein, my teacher of mine many years ago and friend, colleague. He said the Buddha made a very powerful statement about mindfulness of the body. He said, mindfulness of the body leads to nirvana. Such awareness is not superficial. Mindfulness of the body keeps us present. And of course, even right now, just feel your body relax. Well, whether you've liked the talk or haven't, or it's been interesting or not interesting. Your practice is more important than what I say about practice. If it's helpful, great, use it. If it's not, forget it or come back to it some other time. But let your body be part of this retreat very fully, so that at the end of the retreat, you can continue to practice wherever you are 24/7. This is from Marilyn Sewell. She said, the body has its own way of knowing. a knowing that has little to do with logic, but much to do with truth, little to do with control, but much to do with acceptance, little to do with division and analysis, but much to do with union. That's a beautiful teaching from Marilyn Sewell, because it's one of the doorways to samadhi, to bring consciousness and the body together. And I have a lot of other really great quotes, but I'm only going to read one more. This is from Ajahn Mun, who was my teacher's teacher's teacher. Yeah, that's accurate. He was my teacher's teacher's teacher, Ajahn Mun. who said, in your investigation of the world, never allow the mind to desert the body. In your investigation of the world, never allow the mind to desert the body. Examine its nature, see the elements that comprise it, see the impermanence, the selflessness of the body while sitting, standing, walking, or lying down. When its true nature, when the true nature of the body is seen fully and lucidly by the heart, the wonders of the world will become clear. In this way, the purity of mind can shine forth, timeless and delivered. So let's sit for a minute, please. And you can sit formally or informally, but be mindful of your body sitting here. And maybe be mindful of your breath if you wish. In your investigation of the world, never allow the mind to desert the body. Examine its nature, see the elements, see the impermanence, the selflessness, whether sitting, standing, or walking, or lying down. When the true nature is seen fully and lucidly by the heart, the wonders of the world will become clear. In this way, the purity of mind can shine forth, timeless and delivered. Please continue with your practice, and we'll meet again formally at 7:15.